not on yet, Bree Lagrella.
Have you ever felt like just giving up? Well, if you have, this is not the season to do that. The Lord, He sees us, and He knows that we're tired, and He knows that we need a refreshing. He's on His way, and we know that God's got our back. If you don't know, let me enlighten you.
And don't make a mess. Y'all go over there and sit down. Good afternoon. This is Regina Johnson, and we're coming to you with Refresh from the live studio audience. Let's go ahead and give a big old warm welcome to our live studio audience. Our show today, Refresh, is being brought to you by NHISG Sports Media. I want to give a quick shout out to my girl, Princess Cooper. Let's go ahead and just give it up to her. All right. Before we get started, I'd like to welcome you to meet me on Facebook. Which is seizing the moment. And so
today's guest is not just one individual.
We have Full Throttle in the house. Let's give it up to Full Throttle. So instead of me just hauling out the list of people that are part of Full Throttle, we're just going to kind of jump right in and we're just going to take off. When we're talking about Carpe Diem, we're talking about seizing the moment. The reason why we even chose that title of the show today is because we have learned over this past week how important it is for us to be relevant, for us to be active, for us to be plugged into life. This past weekend, one of the members of Full Throttle how we would phrase it, she went home to be with the Lord, lost her life in a car accident while she was actually going to help another. The young lady's name is Georgina Dunham. And so it kind of brought us to a place to where we kind of were just thrust into the moment of saying, you know what, we got to make every moment count. Every moment count. I'm going to go ahead and just start bringing in some of the members of Full Throttle. Glad to see you. Ashley, you're here in the house. Blake, you're here. Kinshada, Olivia, just some of the few. The leader of Full Throttle, Sharitha Reed, who was here kicking it with me last week. We're all here in the place. So, Sharitha, I'm just going to get you kind of jump right in with me right off the bat, kind of give them the opportunity to warm up. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome.
So, what an awesome topic, talking about seizing the moment. I think that's a perfect topic for exactly where we are. And seeing as how this week what happened with one of the young adults, Georgina, was a seize the moment opportunity. Mm-hmm. And normally you don't think of seizing the moment when someone passes away.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment I heard the news, the first thought was, this is real.
Yeah.
And it was a this is real, like, oh my goodness.
We can be here today and gone, exactly. And gone tomorrow.
Yeah, because
right.
we were just with her the night before. And,
right.
And so... seizing the moment, it just made sense to me. I mean, now, you know, we're talking about seizing the moment, and when that happened, it was one of those things where you sit down and you assess life.
Right, right.
What's
right.
priority?
Right.
And are my priorities straight?
Right.
Are my priorities in the right place? Because tomorrow, I could be gone.
Right.
And what I have done the thing that I put here to do, or will I find myself doing the things that God is called me to do?
I think one of the ladies really put it to me just in such a great way, and I shared it earlier today, was that when I die, or you've heard it before, like, what will my epitaph read?
Mm-hmm.
What will it say about me? How did I impact people's lives?
Yeah.
That's one of the things with me, is that I don't want to just pass through this life
right.
and no one knows
Absolutely.
That I am here. In the newspaper, it called her, it said, the Good Samaritan, because she didn't just die in a wreck.
Yeah.
She died in a wreck going to help someone else, which was not just one single act of kindness that
right.
she does or has done, but she's done multiple
yeah.
acts of kindness
yeah.
that really became the, I guess maybe it gave definition to her life.
Yeah.
So when you think of Georgina, you think of someone, not only just crazy, right? But
right, right.
you think of someone that was always open to come in and to help someone.
Yeah, to be the example that Jesus was when he showed up here in the earth. To help someone. So that's our life story, and then that's
right.
the what, that's the ending. That's
right.
our ending. That so for the rest of our life, that's how we'll know her, how she was all of her life.
Right.
Her
right.
ending, her I'll know her
defined.
Her,
right.
Exactly. Her
yeah.
ending defined her entire life.
Wow.
That
wow.
was for me awesome. It was sad,
uh-huh.
you know,
right.
but it was awesome, and it made me say, not that's how I want to go out, but that's how I want to go out.
Right, right, right. We often say, you know what, it's like, well, even in the world, it tells us to let us find ourselves, you know, still working, not
yeah.
sitting back, you know, kind of twiddling your thumbs, but making an impact.
Amen.
I'm going to bring some of your group in on this. Ashley, would you like to share a little bit on seizing the moment?
For me, seizing the moment became real when Georgina passed away, because she was one to always try everything that she had in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about Georgina and just her work history or her school history, you think about everything. She had every job she could ever think of. She went to school for anything she thought she was going to be interested in. Like, I feel like she lived so much life and so little time, whereas people get scared to do things. But Georgina was like a no-fear type of person. She just did it. Just if she felt like, you know,
she wasn't afraid to try.
Yeah, she would jump.
She
would always take the leap. She would always take the leap, and whatever happened, well, she would deal with that after
right.
the leap happened. Just,
right. There's a lot of people yeah. there so afraid of life.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I won't try this and I won't try that. I'm so worried about what people will say, or
yeah.
I'm worried about failing. But what we're saying here today is, grab life by the reins and, like, let it happen. Stop running and being afraid to try, because there are people that are listening to this show today that have dreams and visions that are buried down on the inside of them, and they won't try because they are afraid of what the outcome will be. Let me tell you something. I would much rather try and fail than to never try at all.
Yeah.
That is just, I live by that motto. I'm like, going. I'm going to jump off the cliff, the mountain, the whatever, so that I can at least experience it. Amen? Awesome, awesome. Blake, I'm going to bring you in on that. What do you think about, you know, when you start talking about, like, you know, seizing the moment? When you think about seizing the moment, share that with us.
I think when you seize the moment, you can't really think about the outcome. You got to kind of go, like, the worst thing that can be said to you is no.
Right.
And you've heard no all your life, so what is another no?
Right, right.
Like, you just go with it. Go with the flow and do what you want, your desires in your heart, not just what
right.
the world tells you. Do what you want to do to make you happy in life. That way you won't regret nothing. I'm like, I should have done this, or I could
right.
have done that.
That was one of the things when I was growing up. I would say, I never want to be a person who said, I wish I should have, could have, would have. I did not want that to be a part of my life. I wanted to have just challenged myself. There were things that, like, I would go and experience, and if I had to go by myself, I just would go. I would just go and I would do. And many of the larger things that I actually was, that I've experienced and had success at, I didn't take a crowd of people with me. It was just me showing up there by myself. We actually have another one of the leaders of Full Throttle here today with us. And if you're wondering what Full Throttle is, it is a young adult group of people that help push and motivate each other for greater spiritual walk, as well as holding them accountable for how they just live every day. When we say spiritual walk, we're Christians in the church and out of the church. We have David Reed here with us today. David, you want to share with us?
Sure. about full throttle?
About carpe diem.
Wow. I think this is season of the moment is very important for me at this juncture in my life right now, because so many good things are happening so fast to where really if I don't take the time to embrace it not only in my mind but put corresponding action behind it, mm-hmm. then I'm realizing that the time will go so fast that I will miss it.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's very important that we seize every moment.
Uh-huh.
And even those times where we don't think that it, or even the times we don't think it's our moment or we don't think a situation is for us to seize.
Uh-huh.
Because I've found even situations that don't quite look like,
uh-huh.
or really, you know, let me say this. It doesn't look the way because in my mind, I think
right.
it should go a certain way
right.
or it should be a certain way. But,
or many times we disqualify ourselves.
Or we disqualify.
Like, I can't do it.
Right.
Right, go ahead.
Well, and I've done that so many times
right.
in my life. Like,
right.
oh, I can't do anything like that.
Right.
And I think that's what's happening right now in my personal life. God's presenting some things that He's desiring, a path that He's desiring to take me down. And in my natural eye, it looks too big for me. And spiritually, it's like, God, you sure you want me to do that?
Right, right,
that's
right.
That's what you want me to do?
Right.
You have that
right,
for me?
Right.
So and then I can look at all of my past failures and defeats and like, surely, God, you don't want me
right,
to
right,
do that.
Right.
Especially, you know, when you have, or God has shown you that before and you've stepped out and tried to do it before.
Right, before.
But clearly you know that you stepped out in your own,
right.
you know, your own mind, your own way and trying to do it. But didn't really fully do it how God said do it.
Right, right, right. Man, it's awesome. Hey, look, we are going to take just a couple of minutes, and we're going to step out and come right back right now. You're listening to it fresh. See you in a moment.
This is not the season to do that. And the Lord, He sees us, and He knows that we're tired, and He knows that we need a refresh. He's on His way, and we know that God's got our back. If you don't know, let me enlighten you.
Captivated many. She has allowed herself to be used by God as an example of what a relationship with God really looks like. And now, Regina Johnson Ministries proudly presents Unstoppable You, the brand new book by Pastor Regina Johnson. Order yours today.
To order Unstoppable You by Pastor Regina Johnson, please go to unstoppable.kickoffpages.com.
This is Refresh, and you listen to Regina Johnson. I'm the host of the show. Our show today is entitled Carpe Diem, Seizing the Moment, Seizing the Moment. What actually brought us into the show is that we were just discussing a member of our church, a member of a group within outside of our church called Full Throttle that was tragically killed in a car accident, but not killed in a car accident, just like a random kind of an act, but she was on her way to help someone else who had had a wreck before her wreck. And as she was calling 911, and trying to make an effort to get to the people, she ended up in a wreck that actually cost her life. And so we're talking today about making the moments of our life count, making the moments of our life count. Sharice, I'm going to bring you back in with me on that. How important has it been that you can see in your own life that it that you need to really just stretch and seize the moment?
I think it's vitally important to living a satisfied life or a complete life, a full life. I know one of the things that I've always prayed is that I want to seize the moment, not just for my own benefit or so when I die I will have made an impact, but I want to set the bar of seizing the moment so that when my children take off, they'll have the model for them of seizing the moment.
Right.
Of grabbing hold of every gift, every talent, every opportunity that presents itself, and that they'll desire to take off just how they
right,
have seen
right.
take off.
I remember saying one time at our church, you know, we always look for someone else to be our kid's superhero.
Yeah.
We're always looking for someone else to set the template,
yeah.
you know, for our children to follow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But really, we should be it.
Yeah.
And how we are that is that we learn to take advantage of every moment
Amen.
That God presents to us.
Amen.
And, you know, those moments that come, they are presented by God.
Amen.
They really are. It is the Lord that brings us to that place,
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
And so, yeah, I firmly believe just what you're saying, that we want to make sure that we lay a foundation, a clear path for our kids to be able to follow. And it may not even be down the same path
right.
in which we went, but they can go with the same boldness and
yeah.
courage, determination, so that the outcome can be as ours was. And hopefully each and every one of ours will be successful.
Amen.
Successful.
Amen.
Kinshada, I want to welcome you to the show. You're also a part of the group Full Throttle. I would like to just kind of talk to you about how does that really impact you when you actually saw how you can actually be here in one moment and gone the next. And I know, like, you know, we have people that are listening and saying, well, you know what, I've experienced that before, but there are a lot of people that are in their early, young people that are early 20s and just getting started and have visions and dreams of being married and, you know, and all the other stuff. It's hard for them to see life just being cut off. You're at that place. So I'm just gonna back up a little bit. I just want to talk to you about how did that really, what impact did that have on you?
It showed me that I'm living completely wrong. And when I say that, it showed me that I have desires to have a husband, I have desires to have a business, all these things, but I'm not feeding my soul the proper tools to get me to that. So I feel like me wanting all this stuff, if I'm not feeding my soul, if God were to do that and take me from here to there in that instant, then I would leave with nothing because all I can take is my soul. And if I'm only feeding my earth desires and not my soul, then I have nothing. So that showed me that I'm living completely wrong.
Right. I get what you're saying. That your focus was just on the earthly things. And, you know, the reason that Judy didn't make reference to that is because you should not store treasures here in the earth. Because when we leave, we can't take it. It doesn't matter how much money we make. It doesn't matter what we do. But here in the earth, it's what we do that it's your kingdom for the Lord that will last. That's it. You hear like the old saints talking about we're sending up timber. They're talking about the work that I'm doing here is building a home for me there. It's building a home for me. I agree with you. We all get off track. We're so focused on making finances. I believe that God is all about us prospering. I believe that He's all about us having things here on the earth. But when your focus is just on that, when everything takes a back seat to kingdom, it's like the word of the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. That means that it comes first, then everything else follows. Everything else follows. But many of us don't live that way. We do not live that way. Tasha, I'm going to bring you in on that too. What are your thoughts on it?
it made me think more about how I treat people, because mm-hmm. sometimes I have a tendency to just go about my day and maybe not think like I could share the gospel with them, but it made me really want to share Jesus with people that I come in contact with, maybe even in the grocery store, instead of just being worried about what I need to get done. And to really, you know, people are right. They could walk out the store and it could be their last moment, and I could have been the one.
And even so much as I, and I'm not saying that it's not important of even sharing Christ, but just how you treat people, period. Like how you treat people, period. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yes, being able to share the gospel, but like how do you treat your family? How do you treat your loved ones? How do you treat your coworker? How do you treat, I mean, really, I mean, beyond, like underneath, like, you know, the acceptable you, you know what I'm saying? Like, really, what is your heart condition towards people? Like, when they see you, they talk to you, are you really honest? Are you really true? Are you really there? Do you really love? That's one of the things that's really just kind of, it's really just kind of, one of those things that God has really just been kind of emphasizing in my heart, and maybe because I'm the senior pastor of a church, you know, it's just like, you know, I want to see everybody come into fellowship with the Lord, but in the process of that, I have to make sure that my heart is right. And then what I'm trying to do is make sure that the parishioners, that their hearts are right too. There is nothing, not a greater waste than to live your life in a place that's not real. It's not real. That's not real. You don't love, you don't care. You mistreat people, you're grinning in the face one minute, you're talking about behind your back. You understand what I'm saying? And so, Olivia, I'm going to bring you in on that. And welcome for being here.
Okay, well, the way that this whole thing impacted my life was, like, dealing with everything, it was just like every second counts, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the relationship is, every second counts. And is that last second that you have to live, is it going to count?
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
is it going to say to everybody? When is your last birthday? When is your last move? Will it count?
Will it count? So that means that living every day. You know, I know that every day it's not going to be like a big act of like, you know, you rescuing somebody, you running into a burning house and bringing, you know what I'm saying? It's not going to be like that every day. But it can be that impactful through prayer. It can be impactful through a phone call, a conversation, how you treat others that are, you know what I'm saying, in close proximity. You can have that impact because really I'll never forget my godson and my oldest son, they were getting ready to go somewhere one day, and I was sitting at the table. I was talking to one of the ladies from the church. It was way at the beginning of our ministry, and when they were walking out the door, I remember him saying, "He said, I'll see you later, Mom." And I turned around, and I looked at him, and I remember thinking how it just felt different. And so I just said, "You know, all right, I'll talk to you later." I remember turning around and thinking, that was really strange. Well, they called me about probably about 2 hours later, and they had gotten into a bad car accident. And I tell you what, it was the grace of the Lord. They were making a left-hand turn, and my godson Joshua, he was turning the car, and the car that was coming began to speed up to try to keep them from turning. And they were coming in on the passenger side where my oldest son Marcus was. And Josh saw it, and he said it was just the Lord, and he was just able to come out of it enough to where the car didn't come in on the passenger side. Neither boys had their seatbelts on. It knocked that car back off into a ravine and knocked the whole front of the car off. If he had not corrected, it would have come into the car and possibly had killed both of the boys. But I remember seeing that. And, you know, and that thought right there was like, you know what? You never know. You never know. So then you ask yourself, how do I treat people? Is that something that really has impact? Like, what is your love walk really like? Really like? What is it? You know, like when I think of my own love walk, sometimes it's really stern with people. You know, Blake's over there shaking her head. Yes, it is. It's very. It is. But I know, when you're a person that is put in a place where you shape lives, you don't get to be sweet all the time. You don't get to, you know, just ignore the things that's happening in people's lives. You know, you have to really be upfront and personal. And for me to be anything opposite of that, that means that I don't love. I don't care. I could easily, I've had those thoughts all the time, let somebody else deal with it. Just let somebody else deal with it. But how would you feel if you said, well, let somebody else deal with it, and nobody deals with it, and their lives just come to a crumble? How would you feel? And so I'm just going to bring you back in. Ashley, you want to just jump right in here? It's like we're talking about now. I want to just kind of get in there. Like, we're saying making moments count. But what about a love walk?
For me, when I talk to Tasha on the phone, every time at the end of me and Tasha's conversation, no matter if we just saw each other or whatever, we always say, I love you at the end of our conversation. And that's just how Tasha and I are. But for the rest of these ladies, or the rest of y'all, period, if I were to talk to y'all, I probably wouldn't drop that I love you at the end of it. And I don't know why that stuck out to me so much, but I do love you all, but why won't I say it on a daily basis or as consistently as I say it to Tasha?
Because
I let you know. Then, yeah.
Because you know that she'll safely respond to
you.
I'm just going to jump in with you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, they know me, so they can tell you the truth. I say I love you and be hanging up. Like, I won't even hear whether you said I love you. And I have just, I would say this past few months, yeah, I know that's crazy, right? The last few months, I try to wait. Are you going to say I love you back? But my love you cannot be based on you loving me. I have to freely give it. So when you're saying that, I'm like, oh, my God, I know that. Because I will not say it, but I ain't going to hear how you reply, because it's a click, right? You don't even know I'm going, I love you, and they could be saying something really sweet. You're truly impaired. I ain't going to hear that, because I'm gone. Because I don't even want to know if you love me. I don't care. I love you. I'm done. Isn't that crazy? That's retarded, right? I know. I'm sorry. So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. But when you said that, I was like, oh, God, that is so me.
Yeah, it's just true that we don't let people know things. Like, they always say, give them their flowers while they're here. Like, let them know what's going on. Let them know how you feel. And that's something that I've been coming into. Georgina passed away. I finally started telling David and Sharitha how they felt or whatever. You text me when I got in my car. You don't know how long it took me to text you back. I want to tell you I love you, Pastor. I know you're looking. All this other stuff. All these emotions came up, and all I sent back was, thank you, Pastor Clark.
They got you. You know, I'm safe like that, too. I'm safe. Because I love hard. I really protect my heart. I really, because over the years of doing ministry, you know, I've just kind of, you know, like instead of expanding more, it's like I started to protect myself. And just, I would say, about the last 6 months, I've been kind of like, okay, it's okay to let them in, it's okay to let them in, it's okay to let them in. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break right quick and step out. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Refresh. This is not the season to do that. The Lord, He sees us, and He knows that we're tired, and He knows that we need a refresh. He's on His way, and we know that God's got our back. If you don't know, let me enlighten you. Quick question, what is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth, and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite, what is yours? Is the person down the street, you know, so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or Is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, you reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to Lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
I get you. We want to welcome you back. You've been listening to, or you've not been listening to, we want to welcome you back to Refresh. I'm Regina Johnson, your host. This show has been brought to you by NHISG Sports Media. Again, I want to give a shout out to Princess Cooper. But, you know, before I go any further, I want you to check out the book in which I wrote. It's called Unstoppable You. If you have not picked up this book, I want you to get it. You can pick it up on Amazon, or you can pick it up on Lulu.com, or you can pick it up also on Google Books. It is a great read. It will really be a blessing to you. I want you to really be sure and do that. Also, I'd like to join me, if you didn't hear it earlier, join me on Facebook or on Twitter, Dirty Strong, or you can also find me on Instagram. I'd like for you to stay plugged in so you can hear what's going on in the ministry, as well as get a little tidbits from the week to help encourage you until we meet with you the next week. Today's show is called Carpe Diem. We're talking about seizing the moment. Our special guest today is the group called Full Throttle. Let's give it up for Full Throttle in the house. We're talking about seizing the moment. In us discussing seizing the moment, we're talking about a love walk. Like, when you're going to seize the moment, you got to love people in the now. You have to love people now. You can't make up your mind when they get better, when they act better, when they treat you better. You're going to love them now. We're talking about loving them with a risk. With a risk, you know, and when I'm saying that, it's like, okay, I'm going to show you love, but you may not show me love back. Many of us, we base what we're going to give to you based on what you're going to give to me, and so you can't live like that. Thank God that Jesus does not operate like that. Like, you die first. You die first, and I'm going to die for the rest of the people. You give it up right now, and then I'm going to give it up next. No, no, no. And I thank God for teaching me really just aggressively. I've always had like a big heart, but he's really been teaching me how to just reopen again. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but you know what? If you've been hurt before and you made up your mind, you said, you know what? I hear you, but I am not going to put myself out there again. I want to encourage you, put yourself out there again. The word of the Lord says, how many times do you forgive a brother? That means when people have wronged you, you don't get the opportunity to recoil, go hide up in the cave, and don't come out anymore. You have to come out, experience life, and share love. Let me tell you something. You may be the only example or the only experience of love that many people will receive. And if you hide it away, they'll never get it. We have one of the guests, one of the members of Full Throttle, we have Chantrell. Chantrell, we're talking about that love, like love it even when you don't want to love, right?
Yeah, that's a little difficult, and that's actually something that I struggle with, because I can love people that I'm close to, or that I'm around all the time, but like, or that are cool, but I think have nice shoes.
Right.
The ones that I don't know, the ones that I don't really get along with, the ones that may have hurt me in the past, that I have a hard time.
We're just kind of moving on into that. Yeah.
And I'm working on that.
I think that a lot of people are in that place, you know? Like, yeah, it is. It's easy for me to love people that are like me, but what about the ones that aren't like you? What do you do with that? Or loving someone that's like you, but they've hurt you. Like, you know, I think the Lord, he puts a mandate on us to where, you know what, I'm sorry. I think that's what that 70 times 7 is about. You know, it's like, hot dog, I don't want to have to do that again. Because I know they're going to probably do it again. They're probably going to hurt me again. And the Lord says, yeah, I know, but just go on and do it anyway. Just go for it, you know? Just give it. And you're like going, are you kidding me? You got to be kidding me. But that's what he's talking about living in the moment. Because you know what? It may be that one act of love in that moment that person needed to help them to make the decision in which they need to make for life, for freedom, you know? You know, we're talking about that. We have another one of the guests here. That's a part of Full Throttle, Kiosha. I want to bring you in on that. And we're just going to want you to jump in on how hard is it loving those that are unlovable? In your own life. It's like, oh my goodness, I don't even want to answer that. Go ahead. Just put you on blast.
Can you ask a question?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not going to ask you because you know it. How hard is it to love those that are unlovable?
Well,
Like, have you mastered that?
No. I believe I'm an amateur at that, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do believe that.
You do?
Yeah.
You're an amateur? Mm-hmm. Like, you're in the game.
Yeah, I'm in there.
You're in there, but you're not all the way. You ain't all the way. You're not a pro at it.
Yeah.
You're an amateur. Yeah. You're on the team.
Yeah.
You're on the team. Mm-hmm. Give me an example of it, sister.
Well, in high school, I was always the one that'll befriend the people that they would call, like, lame or... Is befriend the right word?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. The people that would call lame or, you know, sorry in basketball or something. I love the basketball team. So, I always be one that would be friends with those people. Little people know that those are people that got me, you know, class clown, 2012, those votes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I can hear the lines. Open it up. No, I'm kidding. But it's very difficult. It is super difficult. You know, it's easy. If you like the same things that I like. But you know what? When we talk about seeing the moment, that means when you look at that person in the face and it looks like they're saying, oh, my God, here she comes again. How do you respond to that, Sharika?
I think the best response to that is, I love the example in the word where Jesus is on the cross in his last few hours, mm-hmm. and they are mocking him and making fun of him and saying, why don't you save yourself if you're this great person? And I love his response. He says, forgive them,
for
they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And just in this, you know, we're talking about loving people, it's, I guess I've always asked, like, how do you get to that response? How do you get to a response? I know you hurt me. It was you that put me on this cross. It's you that's beating me and bruising me. Where is it in your heart that you get to the response where you can say, forgive them, or they know not what they do? You know, it's like I love you past hurting me.
Right.
I love you
right.
regardless of that. And I think Georgina was a great example of that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
She loved. Even when people hurt her.
That was one of the comments that I heard concerning her. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, we lost a dear friend and parishioner, and and the ability to break her heart and make her cry, and the next minute she's right back there, being your friend again. I mean, I don't know how we're zooming through time this fast, but we got to take another break and be right back with Refresh.
This is not the season to do that. And the Lord, He sees us, and He knows that we're tired, and He knows that we need a refreshing. He's on His way, and we know that God's got our back. If you don't know, let me enlighten you. Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth, and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is it the person down the street, you know, so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, you reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
Well, we want to welcome you back to the final segment of Refresh. Today, our title of our show is called Carpe Diem, Seizing the Moment. We have been talking, sharing, really, because we had lost someone that was very dear to us. And in an accident where she was helping someone else, she had witnessed a wreck that happened before her, called 911 in her efforts to try to get to them, was hit by a car in her vehicle and lost her life. And so we're talking about seizing the moment because you don't know when it's your last moment. And then living the moments of life in love, even with unlovable people. You know what, Olivia, I want to bring you back in on that. We're talking about loving beyond my feelings. I want you to kind of share with that with us, if you could. But
okay, Georgina, I'm sorry that she was one of my good friends, but, like, she got on my nerves. Like, I loved her so much, but we worked each other's nerves. And so what I had to learn how to do was accept her for who she was and learn how to love her where she was at. And so what I did was, instead of when I would get upset with her, I would learn how to condition myself and say, okay, this is how it's going to be. Either you're going to love her where she is or you're going to leave it alone. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is you have to get to a place to where you're going to be who you are, and you can't let others affect who you're going to be.
Like just loving them, right there, right there. Blake, I'm going to bring you back in. You can add on to what she was just saying.
I would say it's almost like being like a child. No matter what, if you discipline the child, 5 minutes later, they're still going to come back, see me laugh, and still love me. They're going to forget everything. It's just like having a childlike love. They don't know
to be frustrated with you or to...
I'm going to love you. I know you did that, but I forgot about that a few minutes ago, whatever you just did to me. But I love you now, and I'm going to love you eternally and forever and ever.
Right. Kinshada, you want to share?
I think that I struggle with that. My biggest thing now dealing with the passing of Georgina is reflecting on the way I handled her. I mishandled her, actually. Mm-hmm. Like Olivia said, Georgina, she got on my nerves. She was loud, but I loved Georgina, and I didn't know that I loved Georgina until now. I knew that I had a love for her because she was my sister, but I didn't know that I loved Georgina as much as I do. I'm sitting in my car crying. I'm talking to Georgina in the car, and I'm like, I don't even understand our relationship and the emotions that I feel now. Don't match up. I don't understand. But I feel
can
like
I,
if
can I say something? There are a lot of people that actually experience exactly what you're experiencing now because we always think that people will be there. So it's like we just handle them like how we feel in that moment. Like if I'm not feeling it, I just handle you like I'm not feeling it. You know, if I don't want to talk about it, I just tell you I don't want to talk about it and get ugly in your face. But really, that's not the heart. We take advantage of love and relationships as if people are required to love you and be patient with you, right, or long-suffering or put up with you. But they don't have to. They can choose not, just like we're talking about choosing to love, they can choose not to love. They can choose not to put up with you. They can choose not to talk to you. They don't have to. They really don't. And it is a blessing. It's a gift when people love you. But people don't realize that it is. So what we do is we enter into relationships, we treat people however we want to treat them, we mistreat them, mishandle them, and so then, because we think, I'll see you tomorrow, and then, you know, I'll get it straight later on, but then you don't get that opportunity, and then you're left with the real feelings, which really was love. And it's funny because people that are closest to us, we mistreat them the worst. We treat them the worst, you know? It's like kids talk to their parents like just crazy. Like, and then, have you ever seen it? It's like, I wish I could think of that old movie. To Kill a Mockingbird. I digress. So anyway, but it's like, I got it. Y'all got to help me with it. I can't move on without it. It's the one where The mother was black and the daughter was biracial. Old movie. What is it?
And
I know there are people that are like on the air and they're like yelling it, like going, it's this, it's this. Do you remember what it was?
The mom died.
Right. Anyway, but the girl, she mistreated her mother. She mistreated her. And then when she found that she had died, she came to the funeral and they were putting her mom's casket into I don't even know what it was called, but it's not even a hearse. It was like a horse-drawn type carriage. And they're putting her mom into it, you know, in the casket. And the girl comes and she falls over the casket and she's crying. How many times have you witnessed that at funerals? And you know they mistreated the people. And you're like, now you got to go get them and dig them out of the casket and drag them out and they pass it out and fall out. You were just cussing out last week. What in the world? And so what it's saying is that, you know what? What is it?
Imitation of life.
Thank you so much. And so, you know, it's like, if it would take time and run it now, seize the moment. Don't just automatically think that they're going to be there tomorrow for you to just make it right. Or it's how we treat people now. We have to live in the moment. We have to live in the moment. I'm going to give Sharita and both David give you an opportunity to be able to share about living in the moment, and then I'll begin to close this out.
In living in the moment, I think the very most important thing is to take ownership of whatever the situation is. What I'm learning right now in my own personal life is that even in those areas, because we're talking about loving people without expectation or expecting anything back, but just loving them on purpose, because that's what Jesus did for all of us. He loved each and every one of us on purpose. He died knowing that we would either talk about and backbite or something, you know, sin or things like that. He still chose to love us. He still chose to give his life.
Hold your thought. I want to say this, and everyone deserves love.
Everyone deserves love. Oh,
keep
my
going.
God. Everyone deserves love.
Yeah.
And I'm learning right now, I'm seizing the moment. It's not just about me. It's about other people, because Jesus was on earth for a purpose, and it was us. So that means we're put on earth for a purpose, and that's other people. So I'm learning to take ownership of everything. And then what I was going to say is I'm learning that that everything conforms to what God is doing in my life. So those moments to where maybe I did try to love them and they didn't love me back. You know what? God's going to take that. It's going to use it for my good. You know, it's something that I need to learn out of that situation maybe that's going to propel me to the next place that he wants to take me in. But just in seizing the moment, you know, just to understand that, you know, God knows everything. So in seizing the moment, I see the relationship with him as well.
All right. You know what, Anthony's here, we call her Sugar. I want you to share right here in this moment.
About living in the moment?
Yes.
I think that it's funny. I want to kind of backdoor off of what David was saying. When I was listening to him to talk about Jesus, him dying for us, when she said it, it made me think about Jesus while he was still alive and the opportunities. There are so many moments that he had where he could have, so like giving up on the disciples.
Right.
Like there were 3 years that he spent with these guys, and there were so many moments in between the time that they were doubting or giving up or still surprised or wondering, like, who is this dude? And Jesus could have just been like, you know what? I'm done. Like, Lord, what's going on? Like, I know who I am. Like, but still, he still dished out love to them, knowing that somebody was going to betray him, knowing that somebody was going to deny him 3 times. He still pushed through in the moments and loved them regardless. And so just after, you know what I'm saying, like after he died, it seemed like that's when the disciples got the realization of who he was.
Right.
And the love that he had for them in those moments is what carried on after he had been ascended into heaven.
The perfect example, too, of that is even looking at the relationship with him and Peter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Peter denied him, like at the moment when you really need him. But then the one that he's crying out for is Peter when he returns.
Yeah.
And that's how we're to operate, is in that way. You know, but it's not based on how you love me. It's how I love you. And his love for Peter actually helped Peter to come into the place of who he really was. And in one single day, 2,000 people were added to the church. Sharita, I'm going to give you 1 minute to go ahead and just kind of share right quick, and then close out. Wow.
I think that's a great example, what you said just now. You're talking about Peter. I think sometimes we forget We're sent here to be servants. We're sent here to be a service to. The example of that is when Jesus, he was sent here to share the word with them, but he actually took and began to wash their feet. That was an example of, so that lets me know that I am here for people. I'm here to be a servant or a service to people. And so I should cherish that, and I should look at that as a gift, as a privilege to be a servant and show love, show the love of Christ to people.
You know what? We're here at the end of the show, and you've been listening to Refresh. But before I step out, I want to say, be mindful of how you treat those that you love. Remember that you might not get tomorrow in order to be able to express what's really in your heart. So we're asking you to seize the moment, carpe diem. Seize it. Live it to the fullest, not just in your little cave, alone, on your own. Begin to draw in those and experience love from others and give love. You know what? I'd love for you to join in with me every Sunday at the same time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. We would love to hear your comments. Be sure, again, Facebook me or give me like a little shout-out on Twitter. You have been listening to Refresh. I am Regina Johnson. I will see you next week. Again, this is Refresh. Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth, and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is it the person down the street you know who so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, to reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.